Yep. All right. How about we turn to 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 2, please. I'm actually a little nervous to preach this because when I was preparing it, the Lord cut me kind of good, so hopefully it'll cut you pretty good too, I guess. But He also healed me too, though, so at the end of this is also a word of encouragement, so maybe, I don't know, it might be rough a little bit at first, I'm not sure, but we'll see where the Lord leads. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read just verses 1 through 8, and then I'll dive right into the text. So let's start reading. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." Now pay attention to verses 7 and 8 here. "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." I got a question for you. Have you vexed your righteous soul? Now, to be honest, it's kind of a loaded question, I suppose, because, well, I studied this passage, and, I mean, unless you've studied it yourself, you might not even know what that word means. So I guess a better question to start off with would rather be, do you have a righteous soul? Is anybody here born again? Yeah. I guess something I get upset about a little bit, and not all the time, but more so lately, specifically because the Lord's been dealing with me on this, is that, and pastors preached about this before, but full-grown men at baseball games can jump up and down, screaming and shouting, hugging each other, and even start crying when their team scores a point. And then you come into a Bible-believing church like this, and you ask the people if they're saved, and, I'm saved. To be honest, it's kind of hard for me to picture us up in glory, up in the New Jerusalem, when the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned, I kind of have a hard time picturing us just, yeah, I'm saved, I'm here. That's a, yeah. Quite frankly, that kind of hurts. And this isn't, you know, my church in the sense of I'm the preacher, but I do think that's a valid point to bring up. Considering the day and age we live in, we need to become more fired up for God and not, yes, not lukewarm. Mm-hmm. Come on. I want to look in 2 Peter here, just at a couple characters. I want to look at actually Noah and Lot. But I've got a thought. Maybe the reason we aren't joyful, Or we aren't as fired up as maybe we want to be, maybe it's because we've vexed our soul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day. I pray that you'll be with my words. I pray that you'll be with me. But I pray that you'll also be with the people here. Give them what they need to hear. Use me to preach to them what you want to teach them, or what you want to encourage them with, maybe edify them with, or maybe even rebuke them. But I pray in all of this, and with the other preachers as well, that above it all, you'll get the honor and glory through it. No, 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 not my soul. My soul ain't vexed, some of you might say. Maybe a good way to figure out whether we do have a vexed soul or not is to actually define the word. Some of you might not even know what the word vexed means. So, of course, Webster's 1828, vexed, to irritate, to make angry, by little provocations, to plague, to torment, to harass, to afflict, to disturb, to disquiet, to agitate, to trouble, to distress, to persecute. But when I started studying this passage, this chapter, it's a really rich passage. There are plenty of different things I wanted to preach on. But I thought it was strange when I read through verses 1 through 8 how God brings up Noah and Lot amidst the context of false teachers and the wicked being destroyed and damned. And I thought it a little confusing. But the more and more I studied it, it started to make more sense simply because of the days we're living in. I want to turn back to Luke chapter 17 real quick. Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. Luke 17, starting in 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now we know, before the Lord actually comes back and destroys everybody, 7 years before that, we're going to be raptured out of here. Glory to God for that. But when looking at these two characters that God brings up in 2 Peter chapter 2, I realized we as Christians in this day and age, similar to the day and age that they both lived in, we've got two options. And they're right there in front of us, Noah and Lot. You can either be like Noah or you could be like Lot. In a day and age where the Lord's going to save us from the destruction and judgment of the world, there really is no in between. You really need to either be serving the Lord wholeheartedly or you're going to walk away from your faith. You might be saying, no, brother, you know, I ain't like Lot. You know, I go to church or, you know, maybe I tithe and maybe even pass out tracts here and there. Now, I want you to stop and listen for a second, because vexing your soul has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. I want to look at those verses 7 and 8 there again. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Here's the definition. God's expounding on verse 7, verse 8 here. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Who and what do you surround yourself with? Because it's easy to come into church on Sunday and, you know, you're among brethren and it's a good, healthy environment. But I guess it'd be best to use myself as an example here. I walked into a movie theater the other day, see a movie with some friends, regrettably, actually. And I vexed my soul when I looked around and I saw those people there. Not just because I was looking at people. There's nothing. I'm looking at you guys right here. I'm not vexing my soul looking at you guys. But I looked around and there were middle schoolers dressed in, belly shirts? Is that the name for them, I guess? Middle schoolers. All the way up through high school. And even the moms were not wearing rather modest apparel. Without purposely trying to look at that, I saw it and as a result vexed my soul. when I saw that movie, I vexed my soul. There was violence in it. You know, a couple people died here and there. No big deal, right? I saw that and I vexed my soul. I irritated it. I agitated it. When I was driving down the freeway, going to work, you know, there's a billboard there. Of course, when I look up, it's got to be that one spot that one time I actually looked at a billboard. I wasn't trying. I vexed my soul. It can really be anything. You're listening to that radio station and someone takes the Lord's name in vain. You weren't trying to listen for that. But you heard it. You vexed your soul. I want to read that verse again just because I think it's really important. We need to understand that whole verse. For that verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them. In seeing, nothing to do with doing, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I was playing video games the other day. There's nothing wrong with video games in and of themselves, if you can find clean ones. And a pastor preaches on that occasionally, you know, if it's good, clean video game, and, you know, everybody in here that might play video games is like, yeah, good, right, good, clean video games. But then we leave and go play our clean video games? No. You're playing like Dora the Explorer or something? I mean, like, any game designed for a 22-year-old out there is not clean. And it really made me start thinking because, man, I don't want to get this legalistic type perspective. You know, there's nothing wrong with women wearing pants, right? but there are some lines we have to draw. And the problem is, I think, because we want to stay so far away from that legalistic side, we push ourselves a little too close to that other side. Feel free to watch movies. Feel free to play video games. Feel free to listen to music. But if it isn't clean and glorifying to God, you're only vexing your own soul. The difference between Noah and Lot, they're both righteous men, as Scripture says. They're both saved from the judgment. If you're born again, you're going to get taken out of here whether you want to stay or not. But the difference was one was walking with God and the other wasn't. A love for God ought to be there in every single aspect of our life. I want to actually turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter 1, if I can get there. Verses 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Man, sometimes Scripture just rubs you the wrong way. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation, by the way, is not just your talk, but it's also your walk. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's quite a tall order to fill. And I don't want to leave it just at that, because it's kind of like, well, all right, great, you know, I need to stay away from bad stuff. It's like, does that really edify you or encourage you? Is that really helping you from the Scripture? You know what you ought to do and what you shouldn't do, but let's, back in 2 Peter, I want to read just a few verses here. I'm not even sure necessarily which ones I want to read, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's just start at the very beginning here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this wonderful day. I thank you for this opportunity to preach. It always goes differently in my head, but I believe you're always in it, and I appreciate that. I'm glad for a church like this. I'm glad to be able to preach to these people. I pray for the next couple preachers that you'll be with them as well, and continue to speak to the people here. Amen.